Thanks a lot, Bill. Appreciate that. I have a couple reminders for you. First of all, I'm glad all you guys are here. It's great to see all you guys. And feels a little bit better in here today than it did last Sunday, so I hope you enjoy the cooler room today. There's some awesome stuff going on here at Venice Church, and one of the things that's going to be going on in the next few weeks is in a couple weeks, we're going to get our adult small groups cranked back up, all right? So those of you that are adult small group leaders, don't forget we have a meeting right after. We'll meet right down here in the front, and get your kids out of Venice Kids or whatever, and then come to the meeting, and we'll talk about some things so that we can get geared up for the new small group ministry season. This too. Now, this is really important. So I actually want to do like a little exercise here. 2 weeks from today, we're moving to two services. The first service will be at 9 o'clock. The second service will be at 10:45. Okay? This may be the most important thing that you need to know about that. There won't be any Venice Kids during the 9 o'clock service. Okay? There'll be childcare for kids like 3 and under, but there won't be Venice Kids. Venice Kids will only meet during the second service at 10:45. So if you have kids, you're going to want to come to the 10:45 service so that they can be in the Venice Kids ministry and learn about God and Jesus on their terms. All right? So that's 2 weeks from today, September 9th. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to say this with me. September 9th, all right? September 9th, two services, 9 and 10:45. September 9th, two services, 9 and 10:45. Now, all the people that aren't here today, you know, and all these like empty spots, they're excused. You have no excuse now. All right? The thing is, if you show up at 10, you're going to like get the last part of the message. All right? But you'll be good to go for the second service, so grab a cup of coffee and hang around. All right? September 9th. Start inviting your friends. Have somebody with you in one of the services starting on September 9th. Now, this other thing, and I'm going to mention this a bit in a moment during the message, but today is like Venice Church's 85th birthday. Yeah, that's amazing, right? The honest truth is, most churches in America don't last that long. But God's been good to us. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. And I was just curious, like, how many of you are here today, and you've been like here at Venice over 50 years? I'm not trying to give your age away or anything. Like, would you just stand up? Like, if you've been here over 50 years? Wow. Thank you, guys. I mean, we have people in our church that have changed the diapers of people that are in our senior ministry now. No joke. Absolute truth. God's been really good to us. All right, so summer's just about over, and today we're going to finish this series called Big. And we've been talking about big church. And we've been learning from the book of Acts about that very first church, in the book of Acts. And today we're gonna finish up at the very end of the book of Acts. And we called this series Big Church because church is a really, really big deal. And we've talked about how the church was launched 2,000 years ago and about how it's still here. And I appreciate it because you guys have been giving me some great feedback. Many of you have enjoyed hearing the story of how the church got started. And you're amazed that like the church is still here today. Now, we came to find out as we began to study how the thing started, we found out that it didn't begin as an institution. It was not about a building. The church was launched as a movement. And what happened was 120 or so people, they went out into the streets of Jerusalem and they said, God has done something amazing among us. Right outside the walls of our city, Jesus was crucified. And right outside these walls, he rose from the dead. And we've seen him. We didn't just hear about this. This isn't just like legend. We were witnesses of this. This just happened a couple months ago. And they were out in the streets and they were preaching that message every day. And the Jews in Jerusalem heard the message and many of them believed and became followers of Jesus. And they were baptized and joined the movement. They believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and that he died and rose again. And they were baptized as a testimony, as a witness of that truth, and that that's where their faith was. And the entire movement, it's centered around the truth that Jesus had risen from the dead. That was the point of it all, that Jesus came, and yes, he died, but then he rose again. So all these people in Jerusalem began to follow Jesus, began to follow the way. And then people from outside of Jerusalem began to come into the city and hear the message and believe. And here's what happened. It threw a wrench in the fragile balance of power that existed between the Roman Empire and the Jewish religious powers in the city of that day. And so the Roman Empire and the religious leaders in Jerusalem, they came together to persecute, even kill the followers of the way. See, they weren't called Christians yet. It wasn't called Christianity yet. It was a movement. It was called the Way. And these people, they began rounding up followers of the Way and beating them and imprisoning them and even killing them. And the ringleader of the persecution was a guy named Saul. And we told you his story. Saul led and organized kind of an inquisition to find followers of the Way and to bring them to Jerusalem and then imprison them and in many cases even have them put to death. And right in the middle of his inquisition, while he was on the way to a city called Damascus to round up followers of the way, he met Jesus and became a follower of Jesus. The resurrected Jesus came and met him personally on this road. He was trying to run the way out of business, and it turned out that he became the number one spokesman for the way. I think that's what happens when you come face to face with Jesus. And this guy, Saul, he started using his Greek name, Paul. And then he traveled all over the known world to tell Romans and Greek-speaking people that God has done something amazing. And he would tell them that the one true and living God sent his son Jesus to earth. And even though the Romans and the Greeks had a pantheon of gods, he would say to them, in spite of what you've always believed, the one true and living God has done something unique. He sent his son to address the problem that Zeus couldn't address and that Jupiter couldn't address. God has sent his son into this world to address your sin and your failure and the fact that you've broken the law. He sent his son to die for your sin. And so then Gentiles began to embrace this movement called the Way, which would eventually be called Christianity, which would eventually become the church. That's how it all started. And it just began to roll from there. And people from all different nationalities, all over the known Roman world, began to embrace Jesus as their Savior. But as time went on, the church got organized. And the church established a hierarchy. And the church got buildings. And the church began to turn inward. And the church went through a very bad time, went through a dark time. There were even crusades and the Spanish Inquisition in the name of Jesus. And leadership went awry and went astray, and theology got messed up. And it got so bad that people began to stop teaching that Jesus was the way, and they began to teach that people could buy their way into heaven. But in spite of all that went wrong with the church, there's always been a remnant. There's always been a group of people that understood that it always was and it always will be about Jesus' death and resurrection. There's always been a remnant of people that understood that this was a movement with a distinct mission. It's not about a building. It's not about liturgy. It's not about style. It's about the same idea that transformed Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. God has done something amazing and unique. He sent his son to die on the cross and pay the penalty for our sin. And then he was raised from the dead. And since that time, so many incredible things have happened in the name of Jesus. Hospitals have been built all over the world in the name of Jesus. Millions of people have been fed in the name of Jesus. Millions of people have been housed and given homes in the name of Jesus. Millions of children have been sent to school in the name of Jesus. Slavery was done away with in England in the name of Jesus. And consequently, it fueled the abolition movement here in this country that eventually did away with slavery. And missionaries have risked their lives and given their lives in order to take this incredible message all over the world. And today, because it's Sunday, today people have gathered all over the world in the name of Jesus. Folks, listen, the movement continues. The movement continues to move in spite of the formality of some churches. The movement continues in spite of the fact that so many churches have become inward focused. And this message, this movement has endured now from generation to generation. And here we are today, on our 85th birthday, Venice Church, a little remnant, a part of the movement, a remnant of the movement is here today. Now, I'm sure that throughout the series, this may have crossed your mind at some point. And we're going to focus on it today. We are here today. 2,000 years later, we are here today. We are here today, and it's our turn. In this city, in this community, in this neighborhood, God has handed us the baton. Almost to the day, to the day, 85 years ago, Venice Church, Venice Baptist Church began, and we are still here today. We are still here, and we are here to be the church, to be a movement with a mission in this part of Los Angeles. We are here to be a church for the unchurched. We're here to be a church, not for people who can follow rules, but for people who need to know the forgiveness that God provides through Jesus Christ. You know, that first church, we talked about this, that first church had a serious encounter, a big meeting, where they had to decide if the church was for the churched or the unchurched. And James, the brother of Jesus, the guy that Bill was talking about, he stood up in that first church meeting and he said this in Acts 15:19. And so my judgment is that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. James said, let's not complicate it. It's a simple message. Let's not make it too formal. Let's keep it simple. Let's keep it easily accessible. Jesus died and rose again. And they had that meeting, and James said what he did because churches turn inward. And things become about and for the people that are already convinced that Jesus is the Messiah. So here we are, 85 years into this, and we're trying to be a place that unchurched people want to attend. We're trying to do everything that we can to make the message that Jesus died and rose again. We're trying to make it accessible to the people that live right here in this neighborhood. And here's what I know to be true. This is just absolute fact. Some people think we're not religious enough. Some people think we don't study the Bible enough. Some people don't believe that we're deep enough. And then there's music and the messages and informality and all kinds of stuff that they don't think is cool for the church. That ain't right for the church. The church shouldn't be doing stuff like that. Well, those are church people that think those things and say those things. And we're not trying to grab the attention of church people. We're trying to grab the attention of the next generation of teenagers. We're trying to grab the attention of the next generation of single people. We're trying to grab the attention of the next generation of young families. We're trying to grab the attention of people who've never tried the church or who've given up on the church. We're trying to grab the attention of people that maybe think there is a God, but they're not convinced there is a God. We're trying to grab the attention of the person who has no idea that Jesus died and rose again. But they know deep in their heart that they need and they want a personal relationship with God. And here's the deal. To do that, to reach those people, to touch those people, it will require extraordinary boldness. It will require the hand of God to stretch out over our community and do something amazing and miraculous in our community. And see, that's what we saw in the first church. We saw that the reason the message of Jesus survived the first century, the reason the message of Jesus escaped the first century, the reason it survived the destruction of the temple, the reason that it survived the fall of the Roman Empire is because there was a group of people that was so extraordinarily bold and so extraordinarily confident that they were willing to say things and do things in ways that had never been said or done before. And they just would not back down. And we want to be like that. We want to be a part of the remnant. We want to be an extension of what happened in the local church 2,000 years ago. And to do that, we have to do some things that maybe we think are uncomfortable. Like, make the commitment to attend the 9 o'clock service so that you can serve children during the 10:45 service. Make the commitment to figure out in your family how you can come to a service and how you can serve children and your children can be served. Make a commitment to figure it out. It's going to be complicated for some of you. Well, what do I do with my kids when I'm in church at 9 o'clock? Figure it out. It takes commitment to figure it out. But if you want to figure it out, you can figure it out because you could figure out everything else that goes on in your life. It's about commitment. Make the commitment to come at 9 and serve children at 10:45. Make the commitment to attend the 9 o'clock service to make room for a family with children in the 10:45 service. Make the commitment to attend the 9 o'clock service to make room for the unchurched in the 10:45 service. Make the commitment to attend the 9 o'clock service and to show up at 8:45 a.m. on a Sunday to greet people who attend the 9 o'clock service. Make the commitment to hold babies in the nursery during the 9 o'clock service and then hang around for the 10:45 service. Make the commitment to serve 2 and 3-year-olds during the 9 o'clock service and then hang around for the 10:45 service. Make the commitment to have somebody who doesn't know Jesus sitting next to you in one of those services every week. I know what some of you are thinking right now. Here we go. This is a big old commercial for the two service thing. You are exactly right. Because two services means more room for unchurched people. Two services means plenty of people to serve unchurched children. Two services, because God put us here to reach people who don't know that Jesus died and rose again. Two services, because God has not sustained us and provided for us for 85 years so that we can turn inward and go into maintenance mode and enjoy our church. God has not given us permission to coast. Let me say it this way. God has entrusted us with this ecclesia, this gathering. God has entrusted us with this building and this property. God has given us all of this so that we might have influence in this community. We've been given this opportunity to influence this city for Jesus Christ, the one who died and rose again. And to be good managers, good caretakers, good trustees of what God has given us, we must leverage this opportunity for His glory. God has positioned us on this corner. We're like 2,000 cars a day go by. 2,000 cars a day go down this street. God has put us on this corner, in this unique neighborhood, in this amazing city, to be a movement with a mission that centers on one message: Jesus died and rose again. So we're going to keep preaching that message. And we're going to be bold. And we're going to do our best to reach our potential in Christ. And please understand, this is not about me. This is about us coming together and being the church. And if I could get you to see one thing today, it would be this. You have so much potential. You have so much potential. There is so much potential here. Every one of you has tremendous potential in the kingdom of God. And for us to reach our potential as an ecclesia, as a movement, as a church, then everybody has to be involved on some level. I want to take you back to week 2 in the series. Remember we talked about being bold? And it was a little uncomfortable because we did something we really had never done before. We stood and we prayed together at the end. And we asked God to help us to be bold. And we asked God to exhibit his power in a way that would allow us to be bold. And that was the first prayer of the first church. And folks, if there was ever a time in the life of Venice Church that we need to be bold, it is now. And there's some things that we need to do. All right, so let me just give you some ideas. Some of you have been around a while now, and you're kind of hanging on the periphery. You know, you enjoy the service, and you know, you time it just right to arrive right in the middle of the first or second song, and then you sit near the back so that you can make a quick exit and be the first in line to check out your child, you know, and then make it to your easy-to-get-out parking spot so you can get to Costco and still beat the crowd to Sunday brunch. A 10 o'clock service works fantastic for that. If you're on the periphery, we need to get you in. We need you to buy in. We need you to get on board with the mission that God has given us. We need you to connect with a small group. In fact, next Sunday at the end of the service, we're going to give you the opportunity to physically walk up to a small group and join it. We need you to connect with a small group. We need you to build some relationships. We need you to serve on Sunday mornings. We need you to get in and buy in and make a difference in this church and in this community. See, we believe that Jesus is the hope of the world. And we believe the church isn't a building. The church is not an institution. The church is a movement, and we need you to move with us. We have an opportunity. We've been given an opportunity. Now listen, I'm not trying to scare anybody off. I'm trying to get more people on board. I'm trying to get more people moving. I'm giving you permission to use your talents and your gifts and your abilities and your passion for something bigger than you. Here's another scenario. Some of you have been here a long time. In fact, you and the furniture are one. You remember the marquee sign. You remember no food or drinks allowed in the worship center. Some of you remember hymnals. I mean, this is your church, and you love it, and you can't imagine your life without it. Continue to serve. Continue to build relationships. Continue to be on board with the mission that God has given us. We need you to serve. We may need you to change services. We need you to buy in and make a difference. So listen, all of us, okay, all of us, short-timers, old-timers, third-timers, all of us need to be bold. And we must be bold in four areas. First of all, we have to be bold in our invitations. We need to be bold in our invitations. And here's what I mean. There are people that we've thought about inviting to a service, but we haven't. It's time for us to be bold. And please understand, we're not just trying to get bigger. We're trying to see some people have their lives transformed by the power of God through Jesus Christ. Start bringing people with you. And here's what it will do for you. You'll begin to see Venice Church through the eyes and ears of a person that's far from God, or who doesn't go to church, or who doesn't consider themselves a church person. And listen, if we don't continually invite these kind of people, we are no longer on mission. And we will turn inward. We need to be bold in our invitations so that our faith will stretch and grow. We need to experience the joy of seeing people that we care about give their lives to Christ and then step into the water and be baptized. By the way, we baptized 3 people at the beach yesterday. God is good. We want you to invite somebody to a service. Our strategy is very simple. We want you to invest in a life and then invite them to a service. Invest and invite. Invest and invite. Invest and invite. Secondly, we have to be bold in our service. You're going to have to be bold in your service. We're going to have to be bold in our service. We need you to volunteer. And can I just say this? I love and appreciate all of you that serve. I'd like to hug every one of you and personally tell you thank you. If you are volunteering, please continue. If you're not volunteering, we want to get you off of the sidelines and into the game. We need you to volunteer to greet or pour coffee or hold babies or serve children or serve students. We need you to volunteer to play or sing music. We need you to volunteer and use your tech savvy for the benefit of the church and the benefit of God's kingdom. Now, this is pretty shameless about the two-service thing, but I'm going to get even more shameless right now. Right now, at this very moment, we need somebody to oversee our website. And our website is set up so simply that even I can make additions and edits to it. We need somebody to oversee our website. We need somebody to help with our online giving. We need a techie to volunteer to use their gift for the church. You know, we need somebody to make films. I'm sure. I mean, after all, this is the west side of Los Angeles. I'm sure that we don't have anybody that's into filmmaking. But if there is a chance that one of you is into filmmaking, we need you. We need you to host a small group in your home. We need you to volunteer to facilitate a small group. If you've been sitting on the sidelines, we need you to get off the bench and get into the game. And listen, please understand, we're not going to throw you to the wolves. We're not just going to throw you out there and say sink or swim. We'll give you everything that you need to be successful in your ministry. And check it out. Every one of us, every one of you have been given gifts, abilities, talents, and passion to use in the movement, to use in the church, to use for God's kingdom. Just be a good manager of what God has given you. Okay, those of you that are like me that have been around church for any length of time, you knew this one was coming. You have to be bold in your giving. We need to be bold with our giving. We need you to be bold with your generosity and your giving. Now, let me be clear about this. I'm not saying this because we need your money. I'm not saying this because God needs your money. The Bible says that God owns everything on this planet. Anything that we have is just on loan from Him. And God has been very good to us. And honestly, if we're cool with staying right here, doing what we're doing, we're good, we're okay. But if in fact, God wants Venice Church to be a movement that makes a difference in this neighborhood and in Los Angeles and around the world, we need to give generously. And let me just say this, so you have an idea where I'm coming from. There's a standard provided for us in the Bible. It's called the tithe, and it simply means 10%. That's kind of the line that's drawn in the Bible, 10%. Do you know that if every member of Venice Church would simply tithe, we would have to invent ways to spend the money? We really would. And here's the thing, to become a tither is the goal. But maybe you don't believe you can give 10% right now. Start giving 5% of your income. Give 7%. Go from 5% to 7%. Go from 7% to 10%. Be bold in your giving. Again, if you're a tither, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for honoring God with your resources. If you're a percentage giver, up your percentage. Be bold. And let me just say this honestly, from the bottom of my heart. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just being honest. if you are working, if you've been blessed to have a job in this economic culture, if you are working, if you're a Christ follower, and if you're working, if you have a job, and you earn a pretty good living, and you have to live on this side of town, and you're a Christian, and every once in a while you drop $20 in the basket, give me a break. Seriously, give me a break. I mean, if God has blessed you, if God has blessed you through this church, it's time to give back. It's time to give back. Be bold in your giving. Finally, be bold in your prayers. We've got to continue adding boldness to our prayers. And again, this is a review from that second message, but I want to tell you specifically how to pray. Continue to pray for safe trips. Continue to pray, God, help me get an A on that test. All that stuff. You continue to pray for sick people. Continue to pray for yourself. Continue to pray for your kids. And then add some boldness. Pray for that person that you work with that you can't imagine ever going to church. Pray for them every day. Pray that we will be bold and that we will never allow ourselves to look inward and turn inward. Again, specifically, I want you to pray bold prayers for the students that attend this school across the street and the one that's a block south of here. Pray that God would raise up the next generation of church leaders, the next generation of missionaries, the next generation of men and women that will love Jesus and his church. And pray a bold prayer that Venice Church will be a movement in this neighborhood 85 years from now if Jesus doesn't come back. Now, we've been in the book of Acts, and I know some of you, you're freaked out because we've only read one verse so far today. We haven't read the Bible yet. And so I want to leave you with this. The book of Acts is the story of how the church began. And the story ends with Paul in prison. And Paul ends up in Rome, and he's just kind of sitting there in limbo because they don't know what crime to charge him with. Because it's not really against the law to talk about Jesus in the Roman Empire, and so they don't really know what to do with him. Like, you know, send us something to accuse him of. They don't really know what to do with him, so they put him in house arrest. And he's literally chained to a Roman guard. It's like the biggest house arrest ankle bracelet ever. And for 2 years, he's been sitting in this house chained to a Roman soldier. 3 days after he gets there, he sends word out to all the Jewish leaders in Rome. Come and visit me. And so they start showing up at his house. And they say, the reason that we're here is that we've heard so many bad things about this sect, this cult, this knockoff, this movement. And we know you're the ringleader. So tell us what this is all about. Paul's very glad they asked. He begins preaching to them. And he could tell by the reaction that they don't get it. And they're not buying it. And they think he's crazy. They've heard that he's crazy. And at the very end of the book of Acts, Luke writes the final statement and the final message of this early church history. And this is what Paul leaves us with in Acts 28:28. So I want you to know that this salvation from God has also been offered to the Gentiles, and they will accept it. He says to the Jewish people, God has done something in your midst, and you've rejected it. You've rejected your Messiah, but God is not finished. God is sending the message to the Gentiles. And this is like prophecy, right? He's giving them a heads up. Listen, the Gentiles are going to listen. They're going to embrace it. There's going to be all kinds of Gentile movements all over the world. And we're here today. The Gentiles are going to listen. They're going to embrace it. Jesus' death and resurrection is going worldwide. And here we are. 2,000 years later, here we are. Then the final verses in the book, verse 30. For the next 2 years, Paul lived in Rome at his own expense. He welcomed all who visited him. And what did he talk about when they showed up? What did he do? Look at verse 31. Boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one tried to stop him. He preached boldly for 2 years about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Later he was released, then they arrested him again, and Nero had him executed. And the primary spokesman for the church was silenced. But not the church. Not the movement. Because the church is a big deal. The church is God's idea. And we've been invited into the movement in our generation. So let's be bold in our invitations. Let's serve boldly. Let's give boldly. Let's pray bold prayers. Folks, this is big. This is God's church. Would you pray with me? Father God, we are amazed by your goodness. Amazed that you would invite us in to your magnificent plan. Amazed, Father, that you would invite us to actively participate in this movement, in this message, in serving, in giving. What an honor, God, it is to worship you and to grow to know you. What a privilege it is to have your word, to hold in our very hands. And Father God, our prayer, even on our 85th birthday, is that we would be faithful. That we would continue, God, to honor you with our lives, to honor you as a church, and that we would continue to be bold in this neighborhood, in this community, on this corner that you've put us on, so that many who maybe know that Jesus died and rose again but don't care, so those that maybe don't even know that Jesus died and rose again, maybe some don't even know what it means to be a sinner, so that they could come to know that before you even created this place, you loved them so much that you planned to send your own son to pay the price for their sin. God, stretch out your hand and do something amazing. Do something miraculous in our neighborhood so that people will not be able to do anything except come and say, I need to know this Jesus. I need to know what this following Jesus is all about. God, we just want to join you in what you're doing. We want to go along for the ride with you, God. We want to be obedient and faithful, and we want to go along for the ride with you as, God, you do something amazing in our midst and in our city. And we pray all this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.